Welcome back to the Hollis Guy Podcast. We are your hosts, Steven.
And Kyle.
And we still haven't been abducted by Egress Industries.
Thank you.
I mean, we're recording this the same time as we recorded the last one. Speaking of the last one,
yep.
Kyle magically whisked us away to Stardust Ranch, and he's going to take us back there today. We left off at the good part, so if you haven't listened to part one from last week, hop on back there and check it out before you listen to today's.
Yeah, I felt like I did you guys like one of them shitty-ass TV shows. Like
Cliffhanger.
Right when it's about to get good, it's like, yeah, psych.
Not the movie Cliffhanger, just a cliffhanger.
That's a good movie, too.
Yes, it is.
I'm into it.
Oh, but before we can get into that, got to get through the business.
Hell yeah.
Check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Hop on over there and just hang out with us. Be part of the community. All of us weirdos. Share memes, weird stories, anything strange you come across on the internet. If you find one of those dope-ass obelisks, the monoliths that have been popping up in your backyard, yeah. Take a picture of it, send it to us.
Hell yeah.
If you've got a weird story, you can contact us there, send it through Messenger, email it to us, or I almost fucking mowed your lawn there, Kyle.
That's all right.
Tossing it over to Kyle if you've got a scary story.
I was checking out stickers, but...
A paranormal story you'd like to share. Kyle's going to tell you how to do it.
Yeah. You guys can record yourself on your little voice memo app there or a video on your phones or just literally whatever. And then send it over to the email, which is going to be hollisguypodcast@gmail.com. You can also type your stories out and shoot them over on Facebook, send it to the email, Instagram, tweets, whatever you want to do. It's literally up to you guys.
Hell yeah. We usually try our best to find them.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we're not that good at stuff.
Yeah, it does happen from time to time, and we apologize.
We have a Discord set up now where people got a little think tank going on, this Egress Industries stuff we had going on a couple weeks ago.
We also have Reddit.
Yeah, we got a Reddit page, and if that's your thing, hop on over there. r/Hollow Sky Podcast. Big ups. Check
Hell
us
yeah.
out. What else we got? We have a Patreon set up.
Yeah.
Hop on over there, search up Hollow Sky if you'd like to support us that way, get some extra content, some different goodies, stuff like that. We got a Venmo set up. If you want to buy us a delicious monster, you can do that as well.
Please do.
Also, the best way to support us is to go to your podcatcher and leave us a rating and review. If you do it on Apple or iTunes, you leave us a 5-star and leave us a review, we will gladly shout you out. And that's where we're at today. It is from our friend Alexis, who hosts an awesome true crime mystery podcast called The Great Unsolved. If true crime's your thing, hop on over there, check her out. Dope shit. She says, 5 stars, favorite podcast. This is my favorite podcast. I love conspiracies and weird things, and you two do the best job covering them. Alexis from The Great Unsolved. So definitely check her out.
Yeah, and I mean, I can attest that she's right.
We're the best?
Yeah.
Kyle has confirmed.
I have spoken.
So thank you so much for taking the time to leave us that rating and review. Thanks for being dope.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Kyle. I got my return ticket to Stardust Ranch.
Yeah, but first we got to go over the fucking sweet ass call.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, word, dog.
Damn.
Fucking that shit up.
I jumped the gun.
Fucking that shit up.
My bad.
It's all right.
Dude, I was ready. I'm ready to go back.
I know, but in all fairness, this submission is
fucking
fantastic.
So, our listener submission of the day, rewind because I almost fucked that up. Anyway. Our friend Marshall, who calls in quite often, has shared this story with us. It is awesome.
Yeah, give a little context.
Marshall sent me an email and said, I was hanging out at my friend's Austin's house over the weekend, and I was talking about the podcast, and his mom comes in and says, well, I've seen a UFO. And so she agreed to share the story publicly for the first time in 50 years.
Hell yes.
Austin says he has a UFO story I've been trying to get him to share, but he has not yet. Here is Austin's mom, Lynn, with her UFO story.
Where you want?
Okay, my name's Linda Wallace. My father and I in Tennessee, in rural Tennessee, very remote, built a house back in the woods. and no other homes around it or anything. And one night my father and I was sitting at the kitchen table and we heard this loud humming, like something vibrating, but at a loud, loud pitch. And I looked at him and he looked at me and I said, "What's that, Daddy?" He said, "I don't know." We went out on the deck and we stood there in the in Tennessee, the sky is so dark and the stars are so bright. It looks like you can reach out and touch them. And we looked down at the end of the house, the holler, and this grayish black looking thing that was oval, that was like cigar shaped, huge. It was humongous. Just come floating towards the deck where we were standing. Neither one of us was afraid of it, but it got over us, and all you ever heard was that, and it got right directly over us, and we looked up, and you could see inside of the thing. It was little tiny lights of all different colors, and it looked like little compartments, like, I don't know how to describe the compartments, but little slats of things and all kinds of lights going around inside this thing. And it stood there, I don't know, it seemed like forever, but it's probably 5 minutes. And it just hovered above us. And pretty soon it just slowly went on down the garden spot, down the trees. I turned and looked at my dad. We were both real quiet. We never said a word while this thing's there. And I looked at Daddy and I said, "Daddy, did we just see a UFO?" And he said, "I think so, sis." I said, "Well, what are we going to do about it?" He said, "Not a damn thing. Nobody believe us."
First off, I want to say, Lynn, I don't know if you'll hear this. I don't know if you listen to this. But if Marshall can get to you, Marshall, tell her thank you so much for coming forward and sharing this story.
Absolutely.
When we decided to start this podcast, the one thing that I wanted was for this, if nothing else ever came of this, for I just wanted it to be kind of a safe place, for lack of a better term, for people to come forward with their encounters and be able to share them and not have to worry about being ridiculed and judged as, you know, because it's still taboo, these paranormal experiences, and it shouldn't be. You know, like, she hasn't shared this publicly in 50 years. She sat on this encounter.
It's crazy.
And it's crazy to me, and that so many of these experiences are just being lost with time when they should be recorded.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't know. Just hearing her talk, hearing the honesty in her voice and her recant the experience, just like, it gave me goosebumps.
For sure. And that was one of the first things that I said as soon as we got done listening to it the first time. I said, "She's not lying. There's no way she's lying.
There's no reason.
No.
She has no alternative, ulterior motive." You know what I mean? And the way 50, I mean, I don't even know how long since first time she's even spoke about it in 50 years. It may be longer than that. How it's so vividly burnt into her memory. She still remembers the lights, what the inside of it looked like, what it sounded like. Like, this had a profound effect on her growing up.
And it seems to be the running MO for just about anybody that's seen them. I mean, I'll tell you, that when we first got together and started talking about our shit, like, I told everybody. A lot of people in my family make fun of me for shit that I say that I've seen. But I'm telling you, when you see that shit, it burns that image into your brain. You don't forget it. You don't.
Yeah, and her retelling her dad's response is exactly how I feel that anybody that comes out with a paranormal experience is dealt with.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, "We're not saying a damn thing because no one will believe us."
Yep.
We want to be the spot where you can come and tell your story and we will believe you.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
So again, Marshall, if you talk to her, let her know. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That was
awesome.
I love it.
Yep. It was awesome.
Just the way she described it, the classic cigar shape.
Yeah.
Being able to look through it. Like, that was so, like, it was like I was on the porch with them watching it.
Yeah, For sure.
It was dope. Thanks for sending that over, Marshall.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It's a fantastic story.
Now Kyle is going to go to another fantastic story.
Hell yes.
Straight to Stardust, round two.
Round two. All right. So where we left off last time, if you do not remember, old John decides he's going to go to war with whatever is on his ranch. And Joyce, being the baller wife that she is, decides, you know what? If you're going to war, I'm going to war with you.
I'm
going to
strap up and stand by my man.
You're my ride or die, which I think is fucking awesome. So, in any war, you know, what's the first thing you do? A little bit of fucking recon. So when John was out, you know, and he was out and about one day, and he would start dropping hints about his dog that had been killed to people. And people would kind of look at him weird, like, what the fuck? But then, it was almost like one of them things where, you know, he goes up to Steve in the store and he's like, hey, Steve, let me talk to you over here for a minute. You know, my dog got killed real weird the other day, you know? Like, what the fuck's going on? And Steve low-key looks at you like, well, I don't know. But then at the same time, he looks around, makes sure nobody else is listening. And then these people that John were running into were like, hey, like, dude, that shit happens.
That's the norm.
Yeah, like that happens around here quite often. You know, so John is just trying to basically, like I said, do a little bit of recon, see what the hell is actually going on. If it's just his ranch or if it is all of Arizona or a 10-mile radius or what the fuck is going on. And what he ended up finding out was that it's basically happening all over Arizona. So John decides to contact the authorities. The authorities basically told him, yeah, the government's not going to be looking into this anytime soon. But I will tell you this off the record. He was told that it is very common for animals to be killed in the area and, I quote, in very weird ways. Bloodlessly mutated or mutilated. He said that it was a non-human presence that was doing this. So this is what
police officers?
The police officer is telling him.
Oh,
so
great.
Yeah, I mean, fucking imagine. Great. Imagine your local sheriff being like, hey, dude. There's nothing going on here. But off the record, there is something not human doing this to the animals around here. Just dropping that little thing of information. Now I got to go back to my job, back on the record.
Kind of okay. Just almost like low-key telling him, just kind of mind your business.
Right, yeah. You know,
just deal with it.
Just accept the norm, okay?
Yeah.
Go with it.
Just accept that your animals are going to get murdered by interdimensional fucking beings.
Yeah. So, you know, John's out there doing his research, moseying around. Well, you know, you've got all the strange shit that's happened in the previous episode, and now this, that people are just like, yeah, this is the norm, we have to accept it. Well, I don't know, I don't even know how to fucking go about this, but it started to ramp up. So one night, John and Joyce decided to put down the battle axes and they're like, you know what? Let's just go out for dinner and just have a really nice night. Like, it's time to get away for a minute and just live life. So Joyce was in the bathroom getting ready, you know, taking a minute like a lot, like my wife does. And so John was like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to pop on the TV and just wait for her to get ready. Not long after that, he heard Joyce say, I'm ready, which kind of took him by surprise because he didn't expect her to get ready that fast. So he turned around, and there she was just looking mint.
Damn,
motherfucking,
Joyce.
A motherfucking 10 out of 10.
Dime piece.
She was in a red dress with makeup, lipstick, the whole nine. Like, she is just dolled up to perfection. So John's thinking, fucking hell yeah. Like, I didn't know we was getting this dressed up, but I am not going to argue the fact that you were this dressed up. You looking good.
Okay? It's going to be a good night.
So Joyce ends up walking right past him, you know, just basically saying, I'm ready. And she goes out to the car. So John turns off the TV. He did a quick check to make sure that everything was all right around the house and follows her out, you know, gets in the car. They take a drive to dinner and they start talking about Joyce's day job, which is kind of fucking weird because it just so happens she works for the FBI.
What?
Yeah, boy. She works for the FBI.
This wasn't brought up before this point?
Nope. And because they don't ever really go into a lot of her work details, which is kind of understandable because she does work for the FBI.
I fucking love it.
But it's fucking crazy.
Dude, she's probably the one opening the damn portals. She
very well could be.
Watch yourself.
Yep. And then, you know, so they're talking, John sharing how he wanted to get more dogs. He wanted about 30 or so, which is
30 fucking dogs.
Pretty fucking excessive.
Well, I guess when you're losing one to interdimensional beings every once in a while.
Right. Pack mentality, dude. Just get a whole bunch of them.
We can afford to lose some because I can't afford to feed them.
And he also wanted, how, you know, he was explaining to her how he wanted a new water system for the horses. Like, he's just back to like being happy and fantasizing about upgrading his ranch. They eventually make it to the restaurant. They go in, sit down. They both order food. And then Joyce is like, you know what? I'm going to go to the ladies' room. I'll be right back. Now, John sits down, and he feels a pinch on his waistline. And when he looked down to see what it was, he noticed that it was his cell phone. But his cell phone had been turned off. And he took it out, turned it back on.
Yeah, he's having a good night.
Yeah, you know.
Night with his lady.
Not worrying about it. Turns it back on.
Phone off night.
And then the phone starts going crazy.
I know
just
where this is going.
Beeping off the hook.
I know where this
got
is
text
going.
Messages, missed calls, voicemails, the whole nine. So he opens his phone and he sees that the number is from the landline at his house. And so instantly he's just like, not this shit again. Because he knows nobody's at home. And he's like, what the fuck is going on? So he opens the messages, and who's on the line? His fucking irate, pissed wife.
Oh, John.
And she is fucking livid. She's like, where the fuck are you? How could you leave me? Like, what the fuck? And so at this point, John is so fucking confused, which, I mean, imagine that.
Dude, the first thing I think of is that stupid short story where the dad goes into the bedroom and the little girl's like, Dad,
no.
There's a monster under my bed. And he's like, there's no monsters. I'll go check for you. And when he gets under there, he sees his daughter hiding under the bed. And she says, Dad, it's in my bed.
Yeah. So, which one's which?
Yeah. Which one's the real wife?
Right. Exactly. So John is confused as all hell. But he starts to think. And he's like, well, if Joyce is at home, who the fuck is in the bathroom?
Or if Joyce is in the bathroom, who in the fuck is calling from home?
Right. So he calls home. Joyce picks up and asks, where are you? He's like, I'm at the restaurant in Phoenix.
And you're in the fucking bathroom.
Yeah. John, well, right out of the gate, John didn't explain the situation to Joyce right away. He says, you have to trust me. I'll be home in about 45 minutes. So he sat like an OG. He sat and he waited.
Dude, I don't know. You couldn't bounce and go home because you don't have any of the answers.
No. So he waits for whatever to come out of the bathroom. And about 3 minutes later, it did. So imposter Joyce walks back to the table and sits down. John looked it right in the face. And at that moment, he realized something. The entire drive, dropping her off, ordering, he never once looked her in the face, not one time. And ironically enough, she never looked at him. Well, at this point, he finally made eye contact and he held that motherfucker. And the look on her face said it all. And when he was just sitting there staring into its eyes, he said its eyes went jet black. just black as night.
Dine and dash, John.
Yeah.
Abort mission.
And, you know, what would you do? Like if you were in John's spot right at that moment, what do you do? Do you say something to it? Like, what the fuck do you do?
Order her an appetizer?
I mean, I guess. Like, here, stay here.
Eat these.
This is on me.
Eat these nachos so you don't eat me.
So in the not turn of events.
But he said he was admiring her when she walked out of the bathroom, admiring her lipstick and her makeup. Clearly, he was looking at her face.
Yeah, it may have been one of them more quick glances. Yeah, cause,
he was surprised that she was out already.
Because I don't really know how to say this, but I'm sure he, don't get me wrong, I'm sure he glanced at her makeup, but
Looking at other features.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. You know, if she was wearing a
classic, John,
a sexy fucking dress, I mean, you know, his eyes are going to venture away real fast.
The lipstick for very long.
Not for
I got
that
you.
Long.
I got you.
So, you know,
understandable, John. I'll let that slide.
Right. Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Okay. So back to the restaurant, you know, he's sitting there looking at it, the eyes go jet black, and in not what I thought would have ended up happening, John just stood up and walked away. He didn't fucking pay. He didn't do nothing. He just got up, turned around, walked to his Jeep, got back into it, and drove off.
He said, tonight is not your night, doppelganger.
Yeah, he's like, I'm leaving you here. Fuck this bitch.
She didn't follow him?
No, I guess not. I guess it just stayed there.
What?
And he said,
"That's."
And this is kind of like one of them little short stories in there that he just added in, but he said over the years that this has happened to both of them. Like, they've had doppelgangers of themselves. Each one has, you know, experienced one of the other.
That's fucked up.
Yep. And he said every single time that it happens, each time it's extremely convincing. And it takes a little bit for each of, you know, either one of them to figure out that this isn't John or this isn't Joyce.
Man, did we do an episode where we were talking about doppelgangers and the guy, maybe it was a write-in story or something I found on Reddit, where the woman was sitting at the computer and then she also wasn't sitting at the computer at the time?
I want to say I vaguely remember that. I think it was a write-in.
Oh, that's fucked up. Anyway, my bad.
Yeah, no worries.
I went down that doppelganger.
So, you know, this, we're going to switch gears again, but so over the years, John pretty well kept track of everything that was going on. And one thing that really started to concern him was all the brands and indents all over their bodies, because whatever was doing this was doing it while they slept. So John did what I would do and prepared for going to war. He's like, all right, let's go. This, you know, it's game on. I'm tired of this shit. It's time to dance. So the one place he started preparing was the bedroom. He didn't have any guns nearby. And, his logic for it makes sense because his house was made of solid brick and he was worried about starting to shoot in his house and the bullets start ricocheting. Or one night him waking up half asleep and end up shooting Joyce.
You didn't want to catch a stray from that AK spray, dog.
Exactly. So therefore, his next best option was a baseball bat. And now I just picture him waking up in like one of them tired hazes and then just smacking Joyce over the head with the bat. Just fucking ping.
That'd make it even worse if you've got a doppelganger demon Joyce walking around the house.
Dude, like, touche. That would suck.
Oh, man.
So there he is. He's preparing for war. Now, one night he woke up not by sound, but by touch. He said that he was in between that state of sleep where you're coming in, you're in, but you're out. You don't really know where you're at. It's right before you go into your sleep.
Sleep paralysis central.
Pretty much. And he said that he felt a cold, clammy thing touch his arm. It started at his wrist, then kind of stroked its way up his arm alongside the inside of his elbow.
Nope, Joyce, get your corpsey hands off of me.
So John, being the OG that he is, he jumped the fuck up, grabbed that bat, and started Babe Ruthing like a motherfucker.
I don't know that I would have went that far.
Dude, he did.
Just blind swinging on everything.
That's what he did. And he said, gives me fucking chills. He said he made contact with something, and all he heard was like a hiss sound, like somebody poked a hole in a tire. That's how he described it. Just that.
Deflated that some bitch.
Yep. When he, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how you go from this to this, but so he beats this thing's ass with the baseball bat, and he goes,
show yourself.
He goes over and flips the light on, and there, clear as day, were three little gray aliens inside his bedroom.
Never mind.
On his side of the bed.
Don't show yourself.
He said they stood about 4 feet tall, no genitalia.
He's checking it out. God, check the package, dog.
He said the arms and legs were extremely thin. They had large heads with black eyes. I mean, that's just straight up.
Yeah, 100%
gray description. He said before he could hit them again, they phased out. And he goes on to talk about this, like that's how they, it's like the interdimensional thing, the portal shit you were talking about. Like yeah. He's like, they literally just disappear before your eyes.
It's the veil. It's thin. Yeah. You can just walk right through it.
Oh, and it gets crazier later on.
Did he see what he deflated?
He didn't deflate anything. I'm assuming that when he hit that fucking gray, that's the noise it made. Yeah.
Oh, dude, if gray aliens hiss at people, that makes me 100% more not ever want to see one.
Well, yeah. If you punch them and they just go,
you hit them with a fucking bat and all they do, like a pissed off cat. I'd just be done. I'd be like, okay, you win.
I'm going back to bed.
Take me to your leader, dog. You win.
Fuck that. So, you know, they phased out. They were gone. After this night, it kind of shell-shocked John and Joyce.
I was really hoping one of them was deflated there in the bedroom. Because the first thing I thought
you took that analogy to heart, yeah, just the deflated
tire.
Well,
I thought of the deflated dog. Hey, Holocult. The weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
And oh, touche, touche.
From the last episode.
Poor I'm trying fucking to put dog.
Two together. I didn't think of it as a like defensive hiss. I thought of it, you know.
They're a bunch of blow-up dolls. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so back to the fucking story. After this night, as you can imagine, John was fucking shell-shocked. He's, you know, and Joyce was too. Like, what in the fuck is going on? And once again, as we've talked about, John states now that they know what's there. They know what's been coming in the middle of the night. So now they have basically a face to what's been branding them and doing God knows what to them.
You have located the enemy.
Exactly. You know, both of them were just, I mean, I can only imagine how appalled and confused you were. But after this night, as luck would have it, they were a lot less covert about their presence. John actually began to start seeing them during the day, and he said one of those little bastards took a ball bat to the dome, and it just hissed. So he's like, you know what? It's time to up my game, boys. So what'd he start doing? He said, fuck the fact that I got a brick house. Fuck the fact that Joy sleeps next to me. It's time to start shooting these motherfuckers. So he does. He starts shooting them. Guess what? The bullets did nothing to him.
Great.
Nothing.
If there's one thing that I hate more than regular gray aliens.
Bulletproof.
Fucking bulletproof gray aliens.
Yep, exactly. They got Luke Cage gray aliens in this bitch.
Great.
It's fucking awesome.
Great. That's the worst kind of gray aliens.
Yeah, absolutely. Aliens. And this is, I mean, believe it or not, this is where he like part ones his alien section of the book. So now we switch gears again.
There's multiple alien sections.
Oh, dude. This is just the icing on the cake. Like, this is nothing. Like, we're not even... This is fucking...
I just want to go to Denny's and sit down with John for like 4 hours.
Dude, for John, this is like day one shit. He's like, all right, cool. I know the enemy. It's time to fight.
So not with bullets or baseball bats.
Yeah. So a little while later, the fucking... John, he's running a ranch, right? So he's like, you know what? I need somebody to do my fucking taxes. I'm going to go to town. So he goes to town.
He's switching gears.
Yeah, he's out there looking. He's trolling for a tax guy. He ends up finding one, and the guy's a Mormon, right? And he doesn't come out with his name, but they end up calling him Fred. So John goes to where Fred lives, and... I guess everybody knew John at this point, and when John walked in, Fred's poor face just went pale.
He goes, "Fuck, not the alien guy." Yeah.
And but you know, Fred's like, "You know what? Fuck it. I got a job to do. I'm going to do this shit." So they go into the nitty-gritty of the taxes, and then the Mormon asks John about, I mean, I guess while they're doing these taxes shit, they're also going over,
of course,
some of the happenings with the place.
I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's perfect talking point.
Right. And
I love how John is like, when the shit started to go south, he's like, I'm going to get the government involved. And people are like, the government don't give a fuck about you. And John's like, well, I better do my taxes so I'm square with the government. I'm fighting aliens. They're trying to kidnap my wife.
Right.
They're bulletproof. They're baseball bat proof. They're walking around my ranch hissing at me. I better get these taxes squared the fuck away, dog.
But
he's just trying to be a good citizen, yeah, a good person.
I get it. He's a good, upstanding person. Now, I do want to reiterate something here that during, like, you will read several times throughout the book. If you guys decide to purchase the book, which I would highly recommend, you will read that John, in his old age, he does have a hard time placing, like a perfect time frame to everything. Like, he'll kind of do this where he switches gears and full circles and shit, which, you know, being an elderly person, you go listen to their stories and tell me they don't full circle once in a while. And
especially, you know, when they spent years of their lives fighting fucking interdimensional
beings.
Dude,
that's what I'm saying.
I'll allow it.
Exactly. So anyways, back to the Mormon shit. You know, they get to talking about it, and the Mormon's like, you know what, John, have you ever thought about having an exorcism? John didn't tell him about any of the aliens. I guess all they really got into was like the dark entity that was hanging around in the beginning, you know? And John didn't want to tell him about the aliens because he didn't want to be called crazy. And he also didn't want to lose his tax guy.
Exactly what we talked about.
So after a little while of this, John's like, fuck it. You know what? Fine. Come do your exorcism, whatever. Whatever's going to float your boat, Fred, you just go on and do it. So Fred ends up showing up. He comes through. He brings two other guys with him, and they enter the house, and they start doing their exorcism. Well, it didn't really take that long, and the house started to react. John said it was almost like something was trying to use the water pipes as a vocal instrument to talk. And I mean, hats off to the Mormons. He said they didn't waver a bit. They just kept like, trooping through.
Come get.
Yeah.
I picture like a didgeridoo. You know, like.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's probably what it was.
I have derailed this you episode.
Absolutely
already.
Have.
I apologize.
Now, the Mormons, like I said, the Mormons didn't waver. They kept punching through, which fucking hats off to you guys.
Yeah. If I like, was in the alien house and the sinks are talking to me, I'd probably bounce.
Oh, I'd be a little fucking concerned myself. Yeah. You know, and as they progressed through the house and kept doing this exorcism, the noise just kept getting louder and louder and louder. But once again, the Mormons, they just kept going room to room and kept fighting this unseen being. But when they got to the master bedroom, it all changed. One of the younger men became extremely distressed. And Fred, he had to end up breaking his concentration to address this guy.
Oh, shit.
And just like that.
Weak spot.
Just like that, it all fucking goes south. So all of a sudden, it was like they all knew something was bad because they all had this look of distress on their face, and they were all looking at the dude who first broke. And then all of a sudden that dude bent over and just started fucking puking everywhere. Now all hell broke loose. The house started to tremble like it was fucking going through an earthquake. The walls, like the picture frames and shit on the walls, were just shaking like somebody was beating it down. And ironically enough, as these men started to retreat from the house, like every room that everywhere they went, it was like it followed them. Like it was chasing, like literally just chasing them out of the house.
Corralling them out of the house.
Now the puker, he ran outside and he just kept fucking puking. Then he ends up running to the van and locks himself in the van.
I'm out, fellas.
Yeah. And he locks everybody else out. The bishop which was Fred. He was the only one remaining. And dude, straight home, he just kept trying to pray and cleanse the house. That's when the noise went to the well, and John said it sounded like a demonic beast from the bowels of hell.
Well, then.
Right after that, they all fucking bounced. They were gone.
They're like, nah, we tried. We failed. We're out.
And it's actually kind of funny because I mean, I just picture this in your head. John and Joy sat on the front porch, and it doesn't go into detail about this, but this is what I'm seeing. John and Joyce on the front porch, they're watching these Mormons sitting, just
kick back in their rocking chairs, just rocking back and
yeah,
forth.
They watch the Mormons speed off down the desert road.
You got the sprinting puker run out.
Yeah, and John looks over at Joyce, and he's like, you think that was aliens? And Joyce goes, nope.
Kick back, keep sipping their sweet tea.
Exactly, man. Like, they're so accustomed to it at this point, they're just like, what the fuck ever,
she's
man.
She's probably pissed she's got to clean up a bunch of fucking puke in her
right?
house.
Right, yeah. So with all that crazy shit going on, John quickly becomes a light sleeper, as one could imagine.
I would say so.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't take much to wake him up. Well, this is kind of fucking creepy for me. So not long into this little fucking occur like this. Okay, so this is the Grace part two.
It is weird to me that I didn't mean to cut in there.
No,
but
go
I'm
ahead.
Thinking, like you have all this interdimensional, possibly UFO shit going on. So it's either outer space or interdimensional because he says they phase in and out, which yep. could also be UFO. You know,
absolutely.
We don't know how all that shit works.
Yeah.
But it's got this whole new side that's all like spiritualistic, demonic, and all this shit.
It's
which
a madhouse.
Either it's all part of the same phenomenon, or all the phenomenon are just commuting on this one.
Yeah, like there's something
spot.
Special about it. Well, so John, he's a light sleeper, right? Well, one night he woke up to his wife floating about 3 feet off the bed.
Time for a divorce, John.
Yeah. You know, so
cut your losses.
So he looks over and Joyce is floating about 3 feet off the bed and he fucking jumps up like a rocket. Now, I fucking applaud him for this because this is just classic. So he looks over, sees Joyce floating, and it was almost like you see in them old magic acts. He starts taking his arms and like moving them underneath her and then over top of her, like, where are the strings at? I know this bitch is fucking with me. What is going on here? And he didn't find anything. So now he's ultra confused. Then he started to whisper to her, like, Joyce, wake up.
Joyce, you're levitating.
You're levitating again.
Come back to bed.
And then eventually he started to yell her name. And he started to push her back down to the bed. And that's when she woke up, but he's like, she only woke up for about a second. Then she went right back to sleep. He ends up getting her pushed all the way back down to bed, and she stays asleep. She wakes up the next day and literally has no memory of it at all. No idea.
That is terrifying that right? She doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell goes on when I'm asleep?
Yep. And then, so from this point on, more and more frequently, he keeps waking up to her floating, which is terrifying. And then one night, or no, as it continues, he starts waking up in the middle of the night to find her not there at all.
That's fucking creepy.
So he goes looking for her, and he'll just find her floating in random spots in the house.
Oh, just floating around?
Yes. Yeah.
What the fuck?
So then it evolves once again. So he wakes up one night, and she is floating slowly towards the door in the bedroom. So he's like, okay, all right, here we go. He ends up, I guess, securing her that night. I don't know how he did it, but he did. A couple nights later, same thing, except this time she's not in the bedroom. She's actually in the hallway. But she's actually floating away from him. So he starts to follow her. Well, it's almost like all the times before were a type of trial and error, because now it was like it had it figured out. Like, now I know what to do. And she was floating towards the outside door to go outside.
No.
Yeah. So I guess he'd found her like this several times, but all the times prior, he was able to like wake her, like partially wake her up, which I guess as he would bring her out of this trance or whatever, she would slowly start to levitate back to the ground. But each and every single time, she would never remember any of it when she woke up.
It makes me wonder, like, is she controlling the levitation by herself, like with her mind, or is something else? Like, because she said the aliens phase in and out, so all I picture is these invisible little aliens carrying his old lady out the front door.
Well, you know, with all the previous stuff, you're kind of like, okay, with everything that's fucking going on, this is weird, but it's not that bad. It's strange, but I'm able to corral her and get her back to bed. Well, so this final night that it happens, John wakes up, finds her floating down the hallway again, and he's like, God damn it, Joyce. Well, he ends up grabbing her by the ankles, like he always did, try to drag her back down to the ground so he can wake her back up. Well, this time he was unable to stop her. And here he is fighting her. She's 3 feet off the ground, floating down the hallway, and he's doing everything in his power to stop her from advancing. And he can't. Next thing you know, she floats right through the fucking wall.
What?
Floats right through the wall to the outside.
Huh.
So he starts following her. like, what the fuck is going on? And she's obviously floating in a very specific direction. So John goes outside and just take a wild guess of what's outside.
UFO.
Yes, sir. He says, maybe about 100 feet off the ground, roughly 100 feet in diameter, there was a blue-white light coming from a disc in the air. Now, you remember on the previous episodes when I told you guys that old John had it figured out about how to not get abducted by UFOs? Well, here's your tip of the day. John, being the badass that he is, runs classic back inside. John. Classic John. He runs back inside, grabs his chopstick, aka the AK-47. As Joyce was moving towards the craft, John ran outside, aimed his gun at the source of the light, and just started spraying. Just shooting like crazy at the UFO. And believe it or not, it actually worked.
Let a motherfucking rip.
They dropped Joyce to the ground, and this is weird because this time was the only time when she came to, she remembered everything.
So the bullets are working now.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But it is.
I'll allow it.
I don't know. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Now, this next story fucking kind of irked me out a little bit.
Good.
Which, if we were ever able to go to Stardust Ranch, I want to look for this place because it would be terrifying.
Perfect.
Yeah. So,
what kind of place?
Changing gears again. One day, John decided to go for a drive in the desert, and I guess he did this quite often just to kind of unwind, if you will. He liked being out there in the quiet, and he would usually take two of his dogs and just kind of go out there and just mill around, you know, just relax, so to speak. But he would always bring, he would take his two dogs and his 357. One day he stopped and started to go for a walk. There was a hill roughly about 100 yards away, and for whatever reason, he wanted to walk to it. Now, as he crested the hill, he noticed in the vegetation that there was a barren circle, which he found pretty fucking strange. So he decides, you know what? I'm going to go investigate. I'm going to go see what's up. He walks over to the circle, and inside the circle was a second circle. The second circle is way fucking creepier. You want to know why? Because the second circle was made of shoes.
What?
Yeah. He walks down to it, and he finds hundreds of shoes in a total circumference of just shoes that was about 100 yards.
A fucking football field of shoes.
A football field of shoes in a circle.
That is.
And it's even creepier.
Creepy.
It was shoes, but he said it was shoes of all types, men, women, and children. Now,
I don't even.
And he said that every single one of these shoes were in pairs, and all the toes were pointed to the center of the circle. How fucking creepy would that be?
Dude, all I think about is all the missing people.
Right?
And shit from out west.
Right?
Or some dumbass art installation.
Yeah. How they wouldn't have done very well going out on John's property back then.
Oh, he fucking let it rip.
It would have been bad news. So, you know, I mean, I couldn't even fucking fathom finding something like that out there. That would be terrifying. I would have nothing but horrible, horrible thoughts.
Yeah.
But with all that, you know, or with everything that had been going on, John actually started to keep a camcorder on him. Well, unfortunately, he left it in his Jeep. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to the Jeep. I'm going to grab the camcorder, come back and record this. So he went back, grabbed the camcorder, went back to the shoe circle. So that's what? 100 yards, 200 yards. He's walked 300 yards now out in the desert, which you can imagine is hot as fuck with his two dogs.
His adrenaline's probably fucking flying.
So, like I said, he went back, started a tape, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the hairs on his arms physically started to stand up, like there was some type of electricity going through the air. I mean, why not? He turns around, and he's greeted by a giant black triangle floating in the air.
Of course.
He said the last thing that he remembered, or no, that was the last thing that he remembered, and he ends up passing out. That was basically it. And then he had another account where he just went missing for 18 hours. It doesn't say how long I thought these two were connected, but I guess they weren't. But it doesn't say with the shoe circle incident how long he was out for.
That'd be interesting.
So it could have just been
in the middle of the fucking desert,
right? And then this, I want to say, fuck. I mean, I want to say that it was this might have been it. I guess there was another account where he went missing for 18 hours. He has no memory of it, and he woke up miles away from his home completely naked. Now, if that doesn't sound like Abduction 101.
Dude, that's Travis Walton shit.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There is actually a little side note here, is that where John lives, the mountain range near him is the Estrella Mountains, and per native lore, these mountains have portals in them.
Of course they do.
And they link to other worlds. So he's got that going for him.
Of course.
It's fucking, I mean, this story is just wild. Absolutely wild. He doesn't leave anything out. He really doesn't. I mean, as you can imagine, what would be the next thing of all things for John to run into? Well, of course, it's got to be the MIB.
Ooh, I was going to say Bigfoot, but that was my next
gotta
one.
Got to be the MIB.
Interesting little side note here. I'm Googling missing hiker in the Estrella Mountains, and there are quite a bit.
That's actually really creepy considering he found a shoe circle.
This is really creepy.
Great. Well, we might have just found our next subject to talk about.
Missing hikers in Phoenix. All sorts of shit. Also, apparently there was some sort of movie that came out. Phoenix incident, and a lot of this shit kind of mixes together. So, I don't know. Scratch that. There are missing people. And hikers found dead on the mountain, but I'm trying to pull this away from this Phoenix incident movie that was out. I'm pretty sure I saw it about four hikers that went missing.
I don't think I ever watched it. No.
Anyway,
but
carry on.
Actually, I think we're going to end this one here.
Never mind. Don't carry on.
Yeah, because we're
going to go part three, dog.
Yeah, we're about the hour mark, and we still got, I was going to try to finish it all in a squeeze, but I think there's more than that here.
Perfect.
So overall, what do you think of part two so far?
I love it.
I think it's a fantastic story. I really do.
I love it. And sounds far-fetched all compiled together, but this is, I mean, it's no more crazy than fucking Skinwalker.
No. And
shit.
I'm telling you
the giant bulletproof wolf at Skinwalker
Ranch.
Right,
absolutely. And that's a great point because a lot of people bite into Skinwalker.
Yeah.
Like they believe it's legitimate.
And then people turn around and tell John, you're crazy. That's the exact voice they used.
It is too.
You're crazy.
I heard it. But like I said, you read this book and you get that overall, not only does he say it, but you get that overall vibe from John that he don't give a flying fuck.
No, because he looks like Jake the Snake Roberts.
He does, But he also
DDT your ass.
He doesn't care if you believe him or not. And I respect him for that. I really do, because that's how I am. Like, if me and Steve went out there and found, I've said it a million times, if we found a Bigfoot footprint and we didn't have any way to record it, or even if we took a picture and everybody's like, oh, that's a fake, it wouldn't matter to me, because I would know what me and Steve saw. It's whatever. Like, your opinion is besides the point.
Funny story.
Okay.
Speaking of big footprint, when my youngest boy was younger, he'd always tell me if I wanted to make $1 million, all I had to do was find a Bigfoot bone and sell it.
Was that Maddie?
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
He said, Dad, you want to get rich? Just find a Bigfoot bone and sell it.
Your son is definitely a plotter on how to get money.
He's trying.
Like, that dude is motivated, and I appreciate him for it. Like, that's what's up. You're motivated. Stay motivated, Maddie. Get them fucking Bugattis.
10 years old. Wants to be an architect so he can buy expensive cars. It's
fucking awesome.
Do it to a dog.
Motivation.
Anyway, thank you for checking out our episode today of Stardust Ranch Part 2. We will be back next week with Part 3. This is our first three-parter, I believe.
Hell yeah.
And we'll see what's going on with
John.
And
it's not even done. Like, this is about half the book.
Yeah, I'm excited for the rest of this and the rest of the book. From the way you talk, dude, it's probably down a rabbit hole. I don't even have any idea.
I would highly recommend the book. If you guys find any of this shit interesting, I probably do a piss poor job at reiterating, but you should check the book out. It's fucking awesome. It really is. I'm floored, because all of these stories that we're going through now, I've heard all of them. I've heard all the stories before.
Some of them are new to me. I've looked into it a little bit, but I didn't dig in.
The circle one I hadn't heard. The shoe
I hadn't heard
circle.
That one.
That one was creepy.
I hadn't heard the doppelganger date one.
Yeah.
That was a new one. It was interesting.
Yeah, but some of these last ones here that I cover are new to me. And then the other section of the book just gets fucking weirder.
Perfect.
Way weird. But with that being said, like Steve said, we appreciate you listening and giving us the time. Thank you.
Yeah. So check us out at all our socials. You know the deal. Just Google us. We'll be there. And until next time, stay safe. Stay weird. And if you wake up and you find your significant other floating out of the house, just go back to bed. We'll be fine.
Touché.